There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict. The sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, heart, the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. You see, there were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all life's battles for me. And victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free.
Just, I feel like it's kind of random, but I just try to mind the Lord and give you what the Lord's give to me. But I just always like to start off while you're flipping there, just thank the Lord for saving me. Thank you for calling me into the ministry, but salvation being the most important thing, because I tell you one thing, Scripture still says in John chapter 15, verse number 5, for without me ye can do nothing, man. And then it's nothing through me, it's nothing through Pastor Brian or anybody for that matter. Anything that we're able to do for the Lord, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And I appreciate y'all being here. But Psalm chapter number 85 and verse number 6, going to read one simple verse. And as soon as you look at it, you're going to be like, what in the world is he thinking? And I'm just going to try to mind the Lord and give you what the Lord's give to me. And we'll head to the house. Psalm 85 verse 6, if you could stand. I'm sorry, I forgot to ask you to stand. We'll reverence the reading of God's word. Psalm 85, verse 6, not to honor me, but to honor God's word. The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And I'm going to read that one more time because I want it to sink in, because I know this is not a revival meeting or anything like that. But I'll just be honest with you, this is where the Lord's burned our heart for tonight.
Amen, bro.
And I just want to just share to you what God's given to me. And if it falls on deaf ears, that's okay. I needed it, if nothing else. But again, notice what the scripture said. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And I'm going to preach for just a few minutes on this super simple thought of revive me. And if there's one thing that we as God's people need, not just ambiguously a couple of times throughout the year, but daily, is the fresh reviving of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I sure do love you, Lord. I'm thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to preach. Lord, I know that I'm nothing. Lord, I know that I have no power in myself, but Lord, it's supposed to be done through demonstration of power and of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that you just help me for a few minutes just to share this thought about revival. And Lord, I feel in my spirit that you want to do something special, Lord, with your people. And Lord, I pray it would fall on good, fertile soil. And Lord, I pray that you just do a work in the hearts of your people. But Lord, I pray above all, Lord, for just a moment, if there's somebody here that's lost that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they trust Jesus, for it's too late. Help us, God, I pray, to just ask you to do a work of reviving in our lives. Lord, we need it daily, not just whenever we have a revival meeting, but Lord, we need you just to renew your spirit within us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, simply just put by way of introduction, I mean, there's a lot. And when I say a lot, I really do mean there's a lot that could be said about revival. But I found this quote, and I think that it's been said, preached, or used in here before, but it was by Brother Vance Havner, a preacher from yesteryear. He said, "A revival is when the church falls in love with Jesus all over again." And I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't take much for us as God's people to get distracted, to get detracted and lose focus on the main thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you're here for any reason other than it to be about Jesus, well, I mean, you've missed the point. The opening, the reading, the preaching, the singing of the songs is all about and all supposed to be centered about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's who is supposed to have the preeminence in every service in which we have. But if there's one thing that, and I feel like I say that about every message, the lesson I teach, but if there's one thing that can happen to us as God's people, and if you're honest with yourselves, like I know I can speak for me, man, it don't take much in this life, Pastor Brian, for me to lose focus, to get distracted by the cares and affairs of this life and to be in need of revival. Because here's the thing, I know this is not a revival meeting, but this is where the Lord settled our heart. Pastor Brian had asked me yesterday if I'd be willing to share a thought tonight, and I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And then I began to just chew on it, and this is where the Lord directed our heart. But on this thought of revive me, now, I mean, like I said, you know, with the quote, I mean, it's just falling in love with Jesus all over again. And revival, it's a choice. There's a part of it that rests on us as well of deciding to snuggle up and scoot up a little bit closer to the Lord. And it's in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice with me this first thing. And I'll read the scripture one more time. But there's some prerequisites that I want you to notice with me first. To revival. Verse number 6 again says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now again, I said the first point for this evening is going to be on the prerequisites to revival. Now some of you are probably thinking, prerequisites to revival? Now just hang on with me here. Hopefully with the help of the Lord by the end of this point anyways, you'll know what I'm talking about. The first prerequisite to getting revival in your heart and life is you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because here's the fact of the matter, revival is not for everybody. It's not. Well, I got two people that said it was all right and they understood. But revival's not for everybody. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no need for you to even wonder, even bat an eye at the message for today about revival. Your first and greatest need is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The first prerequisite to revival is salvation. The Scripture still says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Quickened just means made alive. You can't be revived, you can't be revitalized as a believer if you've never been vitalized in the first place. Because here's the thing, we were all born in our sins. The Bible still says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know this is a Sunday night service. I know that a lot of times this is God's people that are here, but I will not take for granted that every single person in here knows the gospel, has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because here's the first thing and the greatest thing, revival is awesome and we praise the Lord for that. But if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, revival don't mean a hill of beans to you. You can just forget about it. You got to be saved first and foremost because, like I said, we've all been born a sinner. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the perfect righteous standard of the law that God has put forth. We all are in need of a Savior. We all are born dead. Now, my son, he's in the back. He's going to be going on 4 months old on the 23rd of February. Now, he's alive and he's sleeping back there last I checked on him. But I'll just be honest with you, spiritually, he's dead. Now, some of y'all are like, man, that's kind of cruel to say about it. He's my son. I can say it about him. It's okay. He's dead. And just a wake-up call for you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're dead too. Amen. You've never been spiritually awakened. You've never been spiritually made alive. Because the fact of the matter is, when you trust Jesus, you realize that I'm a sinner. You realize my sin has to be paid for. You realize that Jesus died on an old rugged cross some 2,000 years ago to suffer, bleed, and die to take away my sin. You realize that, and then you accept it in your heart and life. Man, you're slowly becoming a candidate for revival because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've been regenerated. You've been set free of your sin. The first prerequisite to revival is salvation. But the second prerequisite to revival is the search. You say the search. Now, again, we'll get to the text here in just a second. And I'm going to be right there out of the scripture, so you don't have to worry. I'm not going off on doing anything crazy or anything like that. But Brother Wayne, many years ago, he'll remember this too, when he was teaching our teen Sunday school class, Miss Kaylin probably remembers this. Devin, you might remember this too. But he gave us a little sticker to stick in the front. It's not in this Bible, but it's in my other Bible at the house. And it had two verses on it, and it was our theme verse forever. Brother, you remember these two verses? He's nodding his head. He's at least nodding his head anyways. But anyways, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, the Bible still says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. And I should have marked this one, but I'm going to flip there real quick. Psalm 66 and verse number 18. You'll be familiar with this verse. The Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Can I just be honest with you? Folks, if you want to have revival in your heart and life, and by the way, revival is not this magical thing that is unattainable. We can experience revival, and it's not something that the charismatics have gone crazy about. This is something that's biblical from the scriptures, but we can attain it. But we got to be saved. But second off, not just for salvation, but the second prerequisite is the search. Because here's the thing. We looked about the scripture said in Psalm 139 about, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. If we've got any unconfessed sin in our heart, you can just go ahead and mark off revival coming to your heart.
Amen.
You can just go ahead and scratch it off. I mean, again, this is not, I'm just trying to mind the Lord. This is not a revival meeting or anything like that, but I'm going to be honest with you. Faith Community Baptist Church can have revival today. It doesn't have to be whenever Pastor Brian gets Brother Gammons or Brother Steve Pope or one of these other good men of God in. God can give us revival, but only when we're ready to have it. God's people, we have to be saved first and foremost, but we have to search, ask the Lord to search ourselves. We got to examine our own heart and life, because here's the thing. We should not expect God to do any mighty work in our heart and life if we've got any unconfessed sin in our life. God is not in the habit of doing anything supernatural with an unclean vessel. You think about Gideon. When they had those pitchers and when they put the light down into the pitcher and they had surrounded the Midianites, that vessel had to be clean. It had to be usable before the light could be put down inside. And by the same token, Our life has got to be clean if we want the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us, because when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence inside of us. But there's a great difference between being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, which happens at salvation, and being filled or controlled with the Holy Spirit of God. But here's the thing, if we have any speck of unconfessed sin in our life, no matter how small in our eyes or how great, the Lord will not give us revival. Do we just need to mark it off? It's not going to happen. But we can get it right with God.
Amen.
Guys, let me just burst somebody's bubble, or I can just say it for the heck of saying it. Every single day we sin.
That's right.
Newsflash, right? Yeah, shocker, right? Every single day we sin, we mess up, we make mistakes. But you want to keep a short account with God. Man, keep a clean and close life to the Lord as you can. Because here's the thing. Nothing breaks the fellowship that you can have with God like sin. There's nothing that will ruin your relationship with the Lord like sin, because sin is a barrier. It just breaks down the relationship, puts a wall between you and God. Man, let me just, like I said, this is a prerequisite. Got to know the Lord as your Savior. Got to have been saved. But man, we got to search our hearts. Because here's the thing. Some of you, I'm not singling anybody out. Some of you, just to be honest, are going to let this go over your back. It's going to be another message, and that's between you and God. But some of you, I believe, are genuinely going to take it to your heart, and you're going to want the Lord to do something in your life. But if we want to get to the place where we experience revival that only the Holy Spirit of God can send, we're going to first have to get our relationship right with the Lord.
Amen.
The prerequisites to revival. But notice with me, second off, the petition for revival. Now, look with me at verse number 6. The Bible said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That first part of that, because this is a question. It says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Now, we're talking about the petition for revival. Notice with me the request. Now, you say, what do you mean the request? The Bible, the verse actually starts off with "wilt," and then it ends with the question mark. And how many of you know, and if you've been in the adult Sunday school class, and I've teached, and you've heard me say this a million times, how many of you know that there's nothing in the Bible by mistake? God puts every word in there for a reason. It's to teach us something. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now, I'm thankful. Let me say this, and then I'll get to this request part. I'm thankful that, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We have access through the Lord Jesus Christ when we trust Him as our personal Lord and Savior. We can make our petitions known. We can come to Him boldly.
Yep.
But notice with me what's being done here. This is not a demand of God. This is not the psalmist commanding and ordering God to do something. No, the psalmist is requesting God to do something. Because here's the thing, folks. There are things that we can take to the Lord. Well, I'm glad we can come boldly. We don't have to wonder if God will hear our prayers, but we have to come with a spirit of humility, saying, "Lord, will you revive us? Will you send revival our way?" Because if we ever get to the place that we think the Lord owes us anything, we are gravely mistaken.
Amen.
And the Lord doesn't owe us anything. Man, he didn't even have to save us, but in His mercy and His grace, He showed us His love through the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. But here's the psalmist. He's not saying, "Now God, you have to send revival this time by this." No, he's saying, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" It's a request. He's asking. He's not demanding of God. He's asking God to send a request. And see, here's the thing. When it comes to revival, whether it's individually, because see, here's the thing. Collectively as a church, we could not be in the spirit of revival. But you can be in the spirit of revival individually. Because here's the thing, is let's say that the church, now I don't believe this is this way. I'm just using it as an example. Let's say that the church doesn't want God to move, but you want God to move in your life. God can still move in your life, even if nobody else wants Him to move in their lives. Does that make sense? I know that was kind of a little all over the place. God can do a work of revival in your individual life, even if everybody around you says, I just want to do my own thing. I want to live my average, typical church Christian life. That's fine. They can do that, but God can still do a work in you individually. You don't have to wait on the pastor, and I know Pastor Brian knows what I'm saying when I say that. You don't have to wait on the youth pastor, the college career pastor, the Sunday school teacher. You don't have to wait on anybody to have revival in your life.
Amen, bro.
You having revival in your life depends on your relationship with the Lord, and you ask Him. Scripture still says in the book of James, we have not because we ask not. When was that last time, myself included, we asked the Lord, Lord, I need revival in my life?
Yep.
I dare say it's probably not on the majority of our prayer lists. If we have prayer lists, leave that where it is. But, man, should we be surprised if we don't get revival if we don't ask for it?
Yep.
Man, I need it in my life. Brother Cameron desperately needs it. And Lord, smote me about it because revival in my personal life, that's not something I've prayed for many times. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's something I need to ask the Lord for. I need to get, because I can have revival individually, but I've got a request, the petition to the revival. First off, there's the request. See, here's the thing too. Let me say this before I move on to the next part. Only God sends revival. Notice, look at the scripture. Wilt thou not revive us again? The direction was not inward. There's nothing that I can do to make revival happen. I mean, I can ask the Lord to do it. I can make sure my life is clean. I can know Christ as my Savior. I can know, make sure my life is clean. But Brother Randy, I can't make revival happen in my life. Revival is something that the Holy Spirit of God does. Revival, the question wasn't inward. The question wasn't even outward. I can't look to Pastor Brian for revival. I can't look to Brother Brandon. I can't look to the leaders of the church for revival in my life. The question was upward. It was unto the Lord. If we're going to get revival, we're going to have to understand it's not going to come from any other place than the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Only God will send revival. It's not going to come, and it's not going to come necessarily with a special meeting from a certain preacher, evangelist, pastor, missionary. It doesn't matter. Only God, only true revival will only come from the Lord. But notice will be not just the request, but notice will be the recipients. Verse six again. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Again, it goes back to that first part in the prerequisites of revival. It's God's people. Revival is not going to come to anybody else but those that have asked and those that know the Lord as their Savior. And then let me ask you this question. Can all of God's people experience revival? The answer is quite simple. Yes. But will all of God's people experience revival? I'm afraid many times no, because of sin and a failure to ask.
You're right, bro.
Now, listen, I love you. Y'all know me. Hey, I've been here pretty much my whole life, other than a couple spells here and there. But I love you. I appreciate y'all. But this is just where the rubber meets the road. This is what the Bible says. It ain't what Brother Cameron thinks or what Pastor Brian gave to Brother Cameron yesterday. No, it's nothing like that. This is what God said. But man, we've got to make sure that our life is clean before the Lord.
Amen.
And we've got to make sure that we're asking the Lord. We see the prerequisites of revival. We see the petition to revival. But notice with me lastly, and I really like this one. I guess it's the message the Lord laid on my heart. I guess I have to like all of it. But anyways, I really like this part of it. Lastly, the product of revival. Look again at verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? That. I like when, again, every word's in there for a reason. That, for the reason, for this purpose, that thy people may rejoice in thee. When revival does come, there's three things it does. In amongst God's people. There's three results, I should say, to revival coming our way. First off, as we see, the saints are rejoicing. The Bible said again, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? How do you know if you've experienced true heaven-sent revival? I'm going to be honest with you. If we've been a part of true heaven-sent revival and you know the Lord's your Savior, it's pretty unmistakable. I mean, what was it? Back in August last year, where the Lord just, before we had our scheduled revival, and the Lord just blew in a special, mighty way. There was no doubt that it was the Lord orchestrating that thing. It was unmistakable. Now, but again, back to the message though, I'd say first and foremost, the first byproduct of a true heaven-sent revival is that saints are rejoicing. The saints of God, they're worshiping, they're praising the Lord. So if you see a spirit of grumbling or a spirit of complaining or murmuring, I mean, the Bible does still say in the book of Numbers, I believe it was, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. That's not popular, and I'm really bad for complaining too, so y'all have to just pray for me and pray that I get right with the Lord. But the thing is that if that's the overall spirit of a service, or if that's the overall, if that's what our spirit is, man, I don't have revival. That's not of the Lord. That's not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. That's none of those things. That's not of the Lord. But man, when there's a sweet fellowship, when there's an overflowing of joy in the hearts of God's people, when the choir seems to just have that extra kick that you couldn't dial it up like that. They ain't got it in the back. There's not like a special toggle that they can switch it over to give the choir something special. But when it's like that, when the preaching's spot on, when the Word of God is being exposed and being expounded, and God the Holy Spirit is doing something powerful, something special that only He could do, that's when and God's people get to praising, get to rejoicing, get to worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all that He's done for us. There's no doubt that that's revival.
Amen.
Mighty quiet in here, but that's okay. That's a good indicator that, man, there's revival going on. And I just go ahead and tell you, that's how the Lord wants us to have every service. And I saw it. Now, this is not a soapbox. Don't take it that way. It's not this. I'm just going to say this, and we're going to move on. Now, I thoroughly enjoy leading the congregational songs. I really do. But some of y'all, I'll be honest with you, some of y'all look like you hate it. And I'm sorry that I have ruined your day by making you stand and turn to a page. But some of y'all got the joy of the Lord. We'll get off of that. But the thing is, man, that's the Lord gave us a voice to uplift and to praise Him, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. But man, if I look like sourpuss, I mean, I'm glad Pastor Brian's facing this way sometimes. I feel bad. Well, I don't know what the choir looks like, but anyways, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Y'all needed to laugh because some of y'all were getting real tense. But the thing is that when the congregational is dialed up, when it's right from the first beat of the song, man, you can tell the Lord's going to do something special. The Lord wants to do something special every service.
Amen.
The Lord wants to do something in your heart every day that you live, not just, man, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, or when we're having a revival meeting, or when we're having the young adults conference next week. Man, God wants to do a work in our life every day. But man, when I got the wrong attitude, wrong spirit, I can just go ahead and promise you, if you see me have the wrong attitude, wrong spirit, you can go ahead and think in the back of your mind, Brother Cameron, he ain't got the spirit of revival. But man, the saints are rejoicing. That's a product of revival. But secondly, and I guess I could have put these in a little bit different order, but anyways, that's how it laid out in the scripture. It said, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice?" But notice with me, it says not just to rejoice, because I mean, you can rejoice in lots of things. You can rejoice that, I mean, if your team made it to the Super Bowl, you can rejoice about that, I guess. But man, it's specific. It says that thy people may rejoice in thee.
Yep.
So not only are the saints rejoicing, but man, the Savior is recognized. The Savior is reverenced. The Savior is the one who's rejoiced about. Because here's the thing, if it's about, I said this at the beginning, but if it's ever about anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, just count me out. I'm going to go to the house.
Amen.
And I hope you feel the same way.
Amen.
Because here's the thing, that's all we have. There's nothing else that I can share to you other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that's going to do anything for your life. If we got up here and preached anything else or showed you a movie or whatever, y'all shouldn't even come. It is to waste everybody's time. But this is the power of God. And this, and the Lord Jesus Christ being uplifted, that's what will bring about revival in our hearts and our lives. The Savior was recognized. That's a byproduct of revival. A heaven-sent revival will always, always, always underscore, underline, bold, italicize, whatever. It'll always be geared around Jesus. And you just put this in the back of your mind, if you're ever somewhere else or whatever, you be wary of any preacher, evangelist, missionary, it don't matter, who wants to make it about them and not about Jesus. They ain't worth their salt. You might as well leave them too. Because if they try to make it about them, I promise you, they ain't got revival. And they got a whole lot of other problems, but they're not having revival too. But it's about Jesus. It wasn't so that the preacher could be, or the prophet, because in this day, it wasn't so that the priest could get glory. It wasn't so the prophets could get glory. But in that day, and even to this very day, on this February 12th, 2023, when revival comes, it's going to be geared around Jesus.
Amen.
And Him alone. Yep. But notice with me this last thing, and we'll be finished. About the byproducts of revival. I mean, the saints are rejoicing. The Savior, He's recognized. But this is kind of... You just hang with me. I think you'll get me. You'll follow me on this. But I'd say also that sinners are redeemed. Now, again, revival is something that's done in the hearts of God's people. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm out of line, I will gladly take rebuke and admonishment. But you hang with me for just a second. When God's people get dialed in with the Lord, and we start living a life that's not just been changed internally, but people see externally that we're living a life that's been changed, that's been transformed, and that it's been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And we're living revival in our life. Man, I believe they'll start doing something with the people that are around us. Because here's a news flash for you. We meet and come in contact with sinners every day. We're not better than them, and I need it at all. But the thing is that the world, they can recognize phony. They can recognize when something's fake, when something's a game. But man, when they see somebody who's got the real deal, they've been saved, but man, Jesus and Him being magnified as something important to them, they'll take note of it. And you never know when the Lord will give you an opportunity to be a door witness to them. Because they might ask you. I've had some people ask me crazy questions for, and just like, where did that come from? But you never know. Because here's the thing. Now, revival is what God does with us. But the heartbeat of God is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The heartbeat. What is God's mission for the church? To go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm living a life that's filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I have revival in my life. People will notice. You'll encourage other believers, first off. But man, the lost folks that you work with, that you go to school with, that's your family members with, man, they'll see something different about you. And you never know when the Lord might give you an opportunity. Because you're revived yourself, He might give you an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody else. Listen, folks, I'm finishing right here. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. But man, we need revival. We need revival in our heart. We need revival in our life. And you know what? It's high time that Brother Cameron fell in love with the Lord Jesus again. It's high time that the church fall in love with Lord Jesus again, and that we genuinely come to Him asking Him to revive us, recognizing I can't do anything special to bring revival, but man, God can. But if my heart's not right with Him, if you've never been saved, that's your greatest need. But if I have sin in my life, no matter how small or how great, if I got anything between me and God, I should not expect to have revival. But if we get right with the Lord and we'll ask Him, I believe the Lord will send us revival. Amen. I believe because the thing is we're not just asking for no reason. Man, the Lord, us living a revived life, that's godly. That's what the Lord would want us to do. So He wants to give us that, but man, many times it rests on us to make sure that our heart's right with Him and be asking Him to do something special for us. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As Miss Savannah's coming to the piano, man, I just would say this. May the Lord allow us, may the Lord do a work in our heart such that we would recognize the need for revival. I need the Lord to chunk some of those logs on my spiritual fire. Because here's the thing about a fire. It's either growing or it's dying. Now, you don't have to be totally out to be in need of revival. You could be just slowly dying off. But man, would to the Lord that we would recognize, hey, Lord, throw some logs back on my fire. I don't want to be dying. I want to be experiencing what you want for me, what you've got for me. I don't want just a fading life. I want a growing, vibrant life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, altar's open. You examine your life. Are you content with where you are spiritually? Are you content with what God has, with where you are with the Lord? As she plays and sings this first verse, go ahead. You mind the Lord.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me if except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.